Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. That's Kyle Porter. I'm Chip Patterson. Kyle, on the scene at what has like shaped up to be, we had like huge first day storylines. All of it's been changed. We had like 20 players within four shots of the lead after Thursday. Now it's all bunched up again. It's Friday night. We got, hopefully the listeners are listening to this at a point where they're mowing their lawn or they're dropping their kids off or whatever Saturday morning event's coming up. How are you feeling?
I'm exhausted. It felt like the entire tournament happened on Friday.
Right.
I mean, it was funny. I was out walking with Sean Barton, who's been on this podcast before, and he was like, I've been here for 9 hours and I don't feel like anything has happened. And then just like happened on Thursday, it all just blew up at the end. And it was just, I don't know, obviously everything revolved around like what happened with Tiger and what he did, but the top of the leaderboard's crazy. Most players to ever make a cut at a Masters. I mean, it's Friday was wild. It's been a really fun couple of days. I'm exhausted because the Thursday, Friday is such early mornings, but I'm ready for the weekend.
So who among the five players that are all tied for first, Francesco Molinari, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott, Louis Oosthuizen, where's your most amount of confidence among that group?
That group shares the career slam, by the way.
Okay, that checks out. Thanks. And by the way, why does it check out? Shout out to Jason Day.
Yeah.
Jason Day's the only one of that group that has the PGA.
No, Koepka.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The crooked 2018 PGA at Belrive. Yeah, it's, you know, I think for me it's still Koepka. I think we do this thing where if a guy had a bad day recently, like we look back and we're like, oh, well, he's probably not going to win. But the reality is that if you take a bigger picture view, I guess 71 in round two might have been the thing that saved you the tournament. You know, he obviously
was a 71 best. That could have been a 75.
Yeah, I mean, right. The way he yes. hit it to start Absolutely. The day, it was the way he hit it to start the day was just, I mean, where he hit it on two was so bad, and he obviously made double there. But I don't know. I have a lot of confidence in him in a way that I don't know. Maybe I don't think I do in the other four guys. Maybe Molinari, one bogey in 36 holes is crazy. But really, for me, it's Koepka, and then if you look just beyond them, I think it's DJ, man. I think, you know, he's one back. He hasn't had that like run at 66 yet. I think DJ's going to be in the final pairing on Sunday.
Ooh, convince me of that. Give me more of what you're seeing about DJ, because I'm with you on Koepka. Like I mentioned to someone today that, you know, we put so much on, you know, how you respond when you're at the top of a leaderboard, but the performance that we saw with the 66 on Thursday is the kind of stuff where we say you can win the Masters on Thursday. So convince me on DJ that he has something other than like slightly better than average golf in him to go and win the Masters.
Well, the case for DJ is he hasn't scored yet. He's got five birdies on the par fives through two rounds. That's solid. But the biggest thing for him, he's only got two bogeys overall. I think it might have been Brando had a thing about how like at each of his Masters, like he always has a double or a triple or whatever, and he's keeping it clean. And that's what you got to do the first couple of days, and then go score on Saturday, Sunday. And I don't know. It just feels like there's a little run there where maybe he goes. You know, like 32 on the second nine yesterday, and you're like, uh-oh, this could get you know, this could be a runaway. I don't think it will be, but I think DJ will be in the final pairing on Sunday.
Have you uncorked this take all the way through, like with everybody you're hanging out with?
No, but Sean Martin picked DJ at the start of today, and I loved it, and I wish that I had done it because I was kind of feeling Bryson.
Right.
And that wasn't, in retrospect, that wasn't a great move because Bryson, the way he scored on Thursday, you know, he chips in on 17, he hits the stick on 18. It wasn't.
Oh, dude, haven't even gotten a chance to really talk. We've missed each other. Like, Bryson was a mess midway through Thursday.
Yeah, he was like one over through 11 or something?
He was screaming at his caddy. He was losing his mind. His caddy was giving him one line off the tee, and then he was hitting it and immediately telling him that was terrible. Like everything looked lost for Bryson after about maybe 8 holes on Thursday.
Yeah, and it's so hard to keep up with everything. Like, there's so much going on, especially when you're out on the course. So sometimes you don't see all the stuff that's going on, but I wish I would have considered or remembered or whatever. Just, there was a lot of luck involved in the way that Bryson scored on Thursday. That's not to say he played bad, but I'm just talking about the way he scored was a little bit lucky compared to somebody like a Koepka who didn't make a bogey and was in complete control.
Yeah. How are you feeling about Rory right now?
I feel lousy. You know, it stinks. I hate it. I hate it for him. It's such a weight that nobody else is carrying in the fact that, like, if he goes out and has a bad round in his head, you know, he's got to be like, well, I got to wait freaking 52 more weeks to try this again. And it's almost like you want to be able to try all 15, you know, take all 15 shots, like 15 weeks in a row, but you just have to keep waiting and keep waiting. And I don't know, I didn't talk to him after Friday's round. I was in a group that was talking to Tiger, but Rory was kind of right next to us, and he was doing the whole thing about how, you know, I'm just happy to be here. You know, we'll see what happens on the weekend. And it's just like, I think we like know what's going to happen on the weekend, and it's not going to be him winning.
Winning. Yeah. That's the thing is, like, it could be him going low. It could be him giving us a thrill, but he's not putting on the green jacket.
Right. And he knows that. And it's just, you know, it's just resignation to the inevitable, and it's got to be frustrating. It's just you know, I know that he has said, like, I don't need this, and I believe him on a personal level, but just as on a professional level, it's a heavy thing to carry around. Like, it stinks. It really does. And so, like, I don't know. I just feel like every Masters, you and I always feel like, oh, we got to wait another year for that to like come up again. And for him, that's got to be such a weighty thing to kind of carry around.
There have been too many majors recently where Rory McIlroy has been not a part of the conversation to win, but instead a part of the conversation of, like, will he make a run? Or, yeah, like, why isn't he in the mix? Because, you know, we talk about Rory a lot. Like, the floor is high. The floor is very high. But, man, this is another major, because Rory McIlroy at this point, and tell me what you think about this. I think Rory McIlroy exists in a generation that might already be past. I was looking at the world number ones, and you did a deep study of this, but the way that today unfolded kind of had me going back and just looking at that same page that you wrote about and on CBSSports.com. You know, all this was up there. But Rory's time as world number one existed with another era, and it is in this era, and I would say that this era, tell me what you think about this, this era is Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, and the fact that Rory McIlroy doesn't have his name in there, even though in this season he has been the best player in the world since January to this point, he does not exist as a number one in the world competitor to this point.
Yeah, but he just won the Players.
So is that enough?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen. And people, I mean, this is going to happen. He's going to shoot like 67, and then he's going to shoot like 69. He's going to finish T8, and we're going to be like, oh, top 10, you know, it's great. Another top 10. But it's not, it's just like, it's just such an empty calorie thing. Like, it's not like a, it's not a fake top 10. It's certainly a real top 10, but it just there's not the meaning behind it that there is, you know, otherwise. And I think that, you know, we've seen the formula with Rory. We saw it with the players. Like, he's playing in the final pairing on Saturday. Like, that's how he wins. He's a front runner, probably the best front runner in the world. And, you know, people may or may not get excited about him going out in, like, you know, 32 on Saturday, but it's just going to be, I don't know. There's going to be an emptiness to it, I think, that is unfortunate.
Okay. Well, judging by, I'll expand on this. I think that there's one graduating class that we're still in: Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas. That's one. Draw a line. And the next one is Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy.
You don't think Rory's in that first group?
Convince me otherwise. I'm only listing players who were number one in the world, and I'm putting them in almost chronological order and drawing a line in the sand. And I'm saying, what can Rory McIlroy do to convince me that he belongs to be in the current class? He was also in the 2012 class, which was before then. So this would be his third cycle up if he were to reclaim that.
I mean, he's trending toward being number one in the world. He finished 2018 number eight. He's number three right now. Justin Rose, who's number one, just missed the cut at the Masters. If Rory, you know, does the whole 67, 68 on the weekend for a... By the way, what do you think he has to shoot to, like, have for it to happen?
For him to win?
Yeah.
Not considering it.
65, 65? Does that get it done? 14?
I've totally written off Rory winning this.
At some point, so...
No, there's... And the reason is there's too many... And listen, there are too many straight-up either major champions or world-class players that are up in the mix for me to think that Rory's going to storm back and win this.
Yeah, I mean, yes. He's not going to win, but what if he does?
Well, I did screenshot what if Rory never wins another tournament. Remember, was it during the Players that he went on to win?
It was like during the final round of the Players.
Yeah.
He's got Leishman at 11:05. That could be a 65-66 group tomorrow.
Just
dream a little with me, Chip.
I told you I screenshotted it, and I was actually cleaning up my desktop today because Sean Martin did call me out for having too crowded of a desktop. And that screenshot I saved because I was like, this Rory McIlroy, what if Rory never wins another tournament? Take before he goes to win the Players is worth keeping forever. Yeah, no, listen. Hey, all right, how about this? We'll get into the contenders and what we think. And oh yeah, by the way, Tiger Woods is one of them. We'll talk about that right after this.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
I don't think Rory's going to win. Real talk. We're sitting here Friday night, 9:06 Eastern time. Do you think Rory will win this?
No. Okay. I don't. Right. And I don't think he thinks it either. But yeah, I mean, at some point, somebody like that is going to shoot 65-65 on the weekend and win. I mean, Ricky almost did this last year, right? Ricky goes 65-67 on Saturday, Sunday, and loses by one. I mean, Ricky was, what was he, 2 under after two rounds last year, and he almost wins the thing at 14. I mean, that's crazy. And so somebody from way from deep is going to do. I mean, we saw Xander on Friday. Xander shoots 73 on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then goes out and shoots round of the tournament so far, 65 on Friday, and he's one back or two back or whatever he is. I mean, it's going to happen with somebody, and obviously Rory has the gear to do it, but I don't know. We should talk about the baseball game that broke out on 14 with Tiger today.
What do you mean the baseball game?
Well, the security guard broke up the double play going into second. And Tiger almost lost an ankle. What the hell? How does that happen? I've watched it like 50 times, and I just howl every time at how hilarious it was. What? I mean, what are you doing? Like, get out of the way.
And he still got a birdie.
And he made a birdie.
And then he got a birdie.
My favorite, like, low-key underrated tweet today was Porath saying, you know, Tiger in contention, late on a Friday, lays up on 15. What could go wrong? We've never seen that go poorly before. And then he makes a 30 footer on 15 and did the uppercut. I mean, that's an early uppercut for Tiger. That's usually like late Saturday or middle of the day on Sunday before that comes out. This tournament's been awesome so far.
So my really good. My hypothesis is that in the same way that I've been making the argument that Tiger has to be better because the Masters field is so much better than it was in 2005 or any of the other times that he's played, he knows that he has to pull out all the Tiger juice early.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, I get a little nervous about getting excited about guys who are making like multiple 30 footers in a round, because you're like, well, that's not sustainable. That's not going to happen. But the flip side of that is, like, if he strikes it well on the weekend, then suddenly those 30 footers were the thing that kind of propelled him into contention to where he could let the ball striking take over. So there's a million ways to look at it, but man, Tiger this is the first time that he's really been in contention since he started. I think he started 71, 66 and 11 and finished T4 that year. And he really hasn't truly been in contention since. I guess you could count 14 or was it 13 when he hit the stick and it went in the water and we had the drop and everything.
But 13 is drop gate.
That was a mess. It's pretty exciting stuff. And the security guard made it that much more exciting.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm loving this. I think that this has been, you know, it feels like I said, we had an entire tournament on Friday, and you had Rahm shanking a ball on number 8. I don't know if you saw that. You had Kyrdek falling down on, I think it was 14.
Oh, dude, 17. Kyrdek buckling was incredible.
he just went to the earth. He just went to the fruit nursery grounds, and it was amazing. But no, I'm great. I'm I'm loving this. I mean, it's hard when you're here because you're like, well, should I stay in? Should I go out? I regret not following Cat around on Friday afternoon because that seemed pretty awesome. And it was really like the sun kind of came out at the very end of the day. It was beautiful out. But other than that, I'm having a blast. I'm tired, but I'm having a blast.
I think that this weekend's going to be lunacy.
I do too. I mean, look at the board is sick.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, what, 28 guys within four of the lead?
And is that right? With what, nine major winners up there?
You've got the top 28 is all between 2 and 7 under. And there's 28 majors represented in the top 16. 14 are Tigers, but
right, still. But still. We're talking about big dogs.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is grown
men only.
Is this the most...
And Justin Harding. Sorry, Justin Harding.
No, totally written him off. Absolutely. If Justin...
I mean, if Justin Matt, we've had a group thread all week with some of my golf writer friends, and we've been discussing like a low nightmare, like who, like that's an old Dan Jenkins thing, like who, what's worst case scenario?
RIP, shout out.
Yeah, it's weird him not being here, but Justin Harding is definitely the worst case scenario right now. Patton Kizzire's up there too, but Harding is, that's not good.
Justin Harding in a playoff.
A Justin Harding, Patton Kizzire, 3-hole playoff?
No. Justin Harding beating someone like just
over like Cat and DJ.
Yeah. That's yes. If you haven't suggested that, throw that one in with a nod to your first cut partner, Chip Patterson.
Would you rather have a Barn Rat Poulter playoff or a DJ Koepka Tiger playoff?
DJ Koepka Tiger, I'm sorry. You're not like
Barnrat Poulter would be incredible.
Yeah, I know, but we're talking about playoff. Like most
talking about playoffs.
In my experience, most major championship playoffs are a letdown, unless they're the 18-hole sort.
Yeah. I mean, we've got some good ones here though. Sergio Rose was good. Cabrera Scott was really good.
They're intense at the time, but I always come away being like, man, I don't know. Maybe I'm a 72-hole purist at this point.
Yeah. Should we talk about Phil?
Oh, who's turning back the clock?
I mean, that 67 on Thursday was magic.
What was it? Brandel threw out the fact that he's had 22 top threes in majors.
Sick. It's so... I mean, he is... I think he's a top 10 player ever.
Ever,
all time.
Ever. Oh, 100%.
Golf history, all of golf. I did the top 10 one time, and I've got this thing about how Bobby Jones is overrated, which I probably shouldn't say that in this building.
No, but, definitely not. You haven't left the premises. You should not say that.
Yeah, I might not be able to leave the premises, but I think Phil is, I think he's a top 10 guy ever. We don't need to go down this path. We'll be lost here in a minute. But yeah, he's T12 along with Kuchar. Patton Kizzire and Chucky Sticks 67 on Friday. How about that?
Don't think it's sustainable.
if he's in one of the last three pairings on Sunday, I probably won't eat like for. I'll be fasting from like Saturday night to Sunday night.
I think you've got your religious holidays mixed up, my man.
I will be inconsolable. Yeah, I would not be able to handle it.
No, I like and honestly with Phil, I feel the same way where it's like I love what he's given us, but do you think it's sustainable?
No.
Yeah,
no,
me neither. Like I'm just
I mean, we were talking about that at dinner on Thursday. We were talking about how like look, like there's a 76 in there somewhere. I don't know when, but it's coming.
I mean, when he was it Thursday, right? When he was just hitting out sideways on like 17 or 18.
I think it was 17 because he birdied 18.
Okay.
He was
one of only four people to birdie 18 on Thursday.
Yeah.
Mm.
And Tiger was the only one to birdie 11 on Friday.
Mm. Well, I consider Tiger birding 11 like while that might be like whatever his strokes gained against the field on that hole is, I do think that I almost put an asterisk by it because he should have that advantage for 11.
Because he should have what advantage?
He should have like of all the holes where Tiger Woods has an institutional like course knowledge advantage on the field, 11 might be a top four hole for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Two guys real quick. My kids are trying to get a hold of me, but can we talk JT and Ricky real quick?
Sure.
Any chance?
No.
Yeah. They're both at three. JT had it cranking a little on Friday. I followed him. He chipped in on 15 for Eagle. Ricky, I don't know, man. He just looks a little disengaged.
Oh, nonplussed. Nonplussed was the word that I was using talking about Ricky.
I don't. It's kind of weird, right?
Yep.
And I know he's always a little bit like that at majors, which I think is a good thing, especially at Opens. We've talked about that, but I don't know. I'm not feeling him this week. Although he's only four back. I mean, Spieth is six back, dude. Jordan Spieth. I followed him on Thursday. I was like, this dude might not he might just withdraw. I don't know what I'm watching right now. And he shot a 68 on Friday.
His par on. Let me see if I can get it. He had one of those pars today that for Jordan, it might have been his par on 11. He had just gone birdie 9, birdie 10, and he had maybe a 16-foot par putt on 11.
Yeah.
And if he didn't hit that, it might have been a wrap. Everything felt like it was kind of shaky at that point.
So I followed him on Thursday, and I legitimately gasped out loud at the par putt that he missed on 1.
Oh my Lord.
I mean, I gasped out loud. It was unbelievable. And then I followed him for a couple more holes, and I was like, this guy is just kind of lost. And then he shoots a 68 on Friday. And here's the thing. We like to joke or whatever. I could not be more impressed with his just fight. He just keeps coming. And, he knows that he's kind of lost or whatever, but he just keeps fighting and he keeps fighting. And, I know that we can, kind of make light of that and joke about it or whatever, but it seriously is super impressive. And
I was just gonna say he's a once in generation golfer. We shouldn't be surprised that we're going to talk about this in 2 years and be like, oh dude, he didn't win, but him grinding there was a building block.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm almost more impressed with what he's doing right now than because when you're rolling, you're just kind of rolling and it's whatever, the hole is the size of a basketball goal and you're just making everything. But to shoot, I mean, he went 33 on the back today. And I mean, if he starts birdie tomorrow, it's game on. I mean, and he looked like he was going to miss the cut by 10 yesterday. So I don't know. I'm impressed. We'll see what happens on Friday, but I couldn't have been more impressed by the 68 on Friday.
I think it started with the 1-under second 9 yesterday.
When he shot 35?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just hung in there.
Love it. Hey.
Justin Rose missed cut.
First number one to miss the cut since Martin Keimer in 2011.
Paul Casey missed cut. Paul Casey shot an 81 yesterday.
Yeah.
Jeez. Not good.
Never bought Paul Casey stock.
Yeah. Good for you.
Mm-mm. Don't want to.
Who's your pick?
Right now.
Yeah.
DJ.
Yeah, me too. We're riding together. Let's do this. Did you see who the favorite is?
No.
Cat.
That's dumb.
It's stupid.
Yeah, no, this is DJ or Koepka.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I Frankie's 5-under is awesome.
Cat is Frank's made one bogey, by the way.
You mentioned that earlier. Yeah, Frank's sick. Like we have acknowledged that Francesco Molinari is a different beast that we have to deal with that we're not used to, right?
Hey, how about did I don't know if Sean fired this out there, but he said it to me while we were walking around. He said, "I want Francesco and Koepka because you'd have an Italian and a stallion."
He fired it out. Yeah, it was on Twitter.
that was so good. Golf Twitter was incredible on Friday. But your odds are Tiger 6-1, Koepka 7-1, DJ 7-1, Molinari 7-1. Chip, the winners of Carnoustie and Augusta historically, Tom Watson, Gary Player, and Ben Hogan. So that would, if Francesco wins, that would be the foursome would be Francesco, Watson, Hogan, and Player.
So I'm going Koepka 1, DJ 2, Francesco 3. That's how I'm power ranking them going into the weekend.
Wait, so you're picking DJ, but you have Koepka in your number one power ranking?
Yeah.
Watch Tiger shoot like a 66 tomorrow.
That's fine. Good for us.
Yes, very good.
Literally.
All right. Okay.
Talk
I'm
going to
go get some sleep.
Yeah,
we'll talk soon.
All right. That is Kyle Porter. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Kyle, keep it up. Like, keep grinding. You got it.
Justin Harding, 60-1. I'll talk to you soon, Chip.